Tonight, I will be sharing with us very briefly. I intend to keep it calm and just to give us certain precepts that we work with. When you are in a treacherous time, you want to be careful to ensure that the instruction is passed and is passed very clearly. So we'll reduce the intensity for this service just to bring us certain understanding that will strengthen our spirit and equip us. We've been on the series of the I Am. The reason is because I said in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, the Bible said he gave gifts to men. And he said to some, he gave to be apostles. To some, he gave to be prophets. To some, he gave to be evangelists. To some, he gave to be pastors and teachers. And he said, for the perfecting. The word perfecting is the word katadismos. It means to equip, for the equipping of the saints. And he said, for the work of the ministry. The saints need to be empowered to do that which Jesus would have been doing if he was on the face of the earth. And so what it goes to mean is that if the church is adequately and effectively functional, everyone will become like Christ with the capacity to do what Jesus would have been doing if he were on the face of the earth. And I said, the reason is because Jesus is the pattern man. God attempted to create man, and there was a standard he had in mind when he wanted to create man. If you study the book of Genesis chapter 1, you'll discover there were five credentials God had in mind for every man to possess. The first credential that God intended for every man to experientially mirror was his glory. He said in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. The image of God is the glory of God. So the man God intended to create was a man that walked in the fullness of the glory of God. And secondly, he said, in our likeness. So the second credential God had in mind was for man to have the capacity to express his essential attributes. So all that God will do, the man will have the ability to do. And thirdly, in Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 3 rather, from verse 8, we saw that in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden, into verse 9. So God intended for the man to live perpetually in his presence. Intimacy. So deep that when the man steps out, he will not just be the expression of the glory of God, but he will carry God's government like a radar. So wherever the man showed up, the government of God, which is God's presence, will follow him. You know, in Luke 5:17, it said Jesus was teaching and the power of God was present to heal. The government of God comes to correct environmental influences and cause them to align with God. So God wanted man to have intimacy with him to the degree that he becomes a carrier of not just his glory, but his government. Number four, what God wanted to do was to give the man authority over the visible realm. And so Genesis 1:28, it said, let them have dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish in the water, and everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. And number five, in Genesis 2:9, it said God planted the tree of life in the garden. So God wanted the man not to live by the animal life, not to live by the soulish life. The reason is because man is capable to function by two order of life apart from God. It's called the animal life and the soulish life. Because in Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11, it said the life of the flesh is in the blood. So there is a life in the flesh of the man. And in Genesis 2:7, He said, God breathed the breath of life into his nostril and he became a living soul. So there is a life in the soul of the man. It's possible for the man to function with the life of the blood and the life of the soul and have no relationship with God. Because Adam never ate of the tree of life. Everybody walking on the earth today without Jesus is living by the animal life and the soulish life. But the plan God had was for the man to live by the Zoe life, not by the animal life, not by the soulish life. If man was able to receive of that life, he would have had the 5 credentials of being the man of God. Unfortunately, he didn't attain those credentials. He was driven from the garden. He fell, and the Bible said he fell from the glory of God. Jesus came and said, you are of your father, the devil, the lust of your father shall ye do. So he lost the glory, he lost the likeness, he lost the authority, he lost intimacy, and he lost life. The only being in the form of man that walked experientially in this 5 order was Jesus Christ. And this is why Jesus is the pattern man. So in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13, Paul teaching said, the goal of spiritual growth and development, Ephesians 4:13, the goal of spiritual growth and development was to come to the knowledge of the truth. Unto a perfect man, that's a mature man, unto the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. So what Paul is talking about is, because Jesus has mirrored this 5 order, every man should also walk in this order. But you don't just wish it. You don't wish to be like Jesus and become like Jesus. You have to grow into the fullness of the Christ. And the way to grow into the fullness of the Christ, Paul still graciously made it available to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, he said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that image. So the only way you can be changed into the likeness of the Christ is when you behold Christ, is when you see Christ, is when you look upon Christ. Your resolution cannot make you become like that. Your discipline cannot make you become like that. Because the fall is a product of denaturation. You have taken upon yourself the nature of the devil. So when Jesus is preached and Jesus is taught, then people can look at him and they become like him. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23, it says, we preach Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ and him crucified. The goal is to present Jesus. In Galatians chapter 3 from verse 1, it said, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whom Christ was evidently made manifest. So Paul's teaching, the summary of Paul's teaching, the technocracy and the skill, the gift and the anointing that made for Paul's teaching was his ability to expose Christ. So much so that anybody that sees him or hears him will see Jesus painted to him. And as the person begins to look at Jesus, the protocol of transformation is engaged. We all with open faces, beholding as in the glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. And so we said, in order to understand and to paint the picture of Christ, we have to find out the dimensions of Jesus that himself accredited for man to look upon. And in John chapter 8 verse 56, when they asked him who he was, why he thought he was strong enough to speak the way he spoke, he said, before Abraham was, I am. And when Peter was also given the inspiration by God to explain and to talk about the person of Jesus, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the Son of the living God said, I am. And I said, I am is not I was. If he said I was, it would have mean he was older than Abraham. When he said I am, he's trying to say I am the image of the invisible God. So when you look at me, you can become like me. And so we said the easiest way to route this journey is to look at some of the tributaries of the I am. And so we began to look at it one after the other. And the first dimension of the I am we considered was the fact that he said, I am the life. And I said, Jesus declaring himself as life is not just a statement. It's actually an organic protocol that he puts into every man that receives him. That organic protocol is like a law within. So in Romans chapter 8 verse 2, he said the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That law establishes an intrinsic government within you that compels you to do the will of God. That compels you to follow the dictates of the Holy Spirit. And as you begin to follow that intrinsic dictate, a point will come, you'll discover that you have become like Jesus. So an encounter with the life is not a story told. An encounter with the life is an inbuilt technology of God that transforms you from within. Praise the Lord. Are you following so far? When we were done looking at that, we now looked at another dimension. He said, I am the bread of life. And we said the bread of life is actually the tangible essence of God that is captured within his word. That when the word of God is broken, what it does is that it feeds the human spirit. And when it feeds the human spirit, what it does is that it energizes that person and improves the quality of his existence. So Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew 4 verse 4, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. Because the word of God is the bread of God that came down from heaven. So every time the word of God is presented, it's not head for knowledge sake. It is actually eating like bread. So Jeremiah said, I found thy word, I did eat it, and it became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So when you see people with a haphazard kind of life, it's a testimony of the scarcity of bread. Because any area of your life where you are not fed by the word, that area of your life will indicate itself not to be fed by the kinds of circumstances you will see. So any area of your life that is not beautified is a testimony of a scarcity of bread in that area. Because the bread of life came to improve you. And so Jesus went further to say, I am the good shepherd. And I said, as the good shepherd, Jesus was presenting himself as the true help of man. Because he said, woe unto him that trusted in the arm of flesh. There is no help with flesh. The only place to find true help is with Christ. So as the good shepherd, the Bible said, he is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. He said, the hireling runs away when the wolf appears. He said, but the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life. So when you know the good shepherd, it becomes easy for you to trust in God. Many people trust in their human connections. Many people trust in their fraternity with people. Many people trust in their experiences. As beautiful as all of these are, without God, it's vain. Because the true help for man is the shepherd. That's why the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. And even went deeper to say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not because a man promised me something. Not because I have connection with America. Not because I have connection with the most powerful people in the world. He said, but because the Lord is with me. A man who does not know the good shepherd will be under pressure at the slightest provocation of the environment. But a man who knows the good shepherd, even if he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he doesn't know how to fear. Because God is his strength. God is with him. I said a lot of Christians today believe so much in the many things they can do apart from God. A lot of Christians today believe so much in the people they know apart from God. A lot of people today believe so much in the connections they have. It's because they don't know the good shepherd. Does this mean you should disconnect from people? No. When God wants to help you, sometimes he routes it through men. But your assurance is not in men. Your assurance is in God. Many have not known the good shepherd. So their trust is in things. Their trust is in connection. And in the day of trouble, they will surely faint. And so having looked at all of these dimensions, we trusted that our lives begins or have begun to make progress. Because somebody is here that before now was not sensitive to the movements of life within. But now you wake up, and as you wake up from your bed, you hear a song. You know that this is not just natural. This is something stirring my spirit. And so you start your day from the mountain. Because that song becomes an instrument of ascension for you. Somebody here before who just wakes up and is not sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit has become more sensitive because he now understands that those promptings are actually the life dimensions of Jesus. And so you could wake up in the morning, you were so hungry you wanted to eat, and then you sense that you shouldn't eat now. An angel did not appear to you, but you know life is at work. And you engage on a fast. And that fast, you don't even know when it will end. But after you have done it for 21 days, that burden lifts from you. And you know that you have had encounters and interaction with the life dimension of God. It may take time for you to understand what happened. And you may not even know at all, but something has shifted on your inside. Because that is how life works. Somebody who didn't know before now that the word of God is what beautifies his life, who have been running helter-skelter, looking for people, hoping that people will promise things and bless, now understands that everything that adds beauty to his life is in the word. Instead of pursuing men, now begins to pursue truth. Because you are not yet married. You are 25. You are 30. You are 35. Three people have already promised you and broken your heart. In fact, the last one, you cooked for the person. You wash the person's clothes, hoping that in doing all of these things, the person will be reasonable. But you did all, it still didn't work. Now you know that it is not the will of that man to marry you. When you want to find your husband, you will find the scripture. And the scripture will tell you, it said, they will not desire their mate. They will not desire. Because there is something the scripture will add to your life. It's called favor. And when that favor is on your life, even when you are not yet ready, the men will be begging. And then you are asking what happened. You have found the bread of life. You may be there. You have not had any breakthrough in your life, in your career, for many years. You graduated with a first class for 7 years. You have not had any breakthrough. And you have gone from office to office until the sole of your shoe has eaten up and nothing is working. You have received promise upon promises. We will get back to you. And we will get back to you have become your second name. Instead of looking for the people, calling the secretaries, you now abandon them and you go and sit on the scripture. And while you are opening the pages of the scripture, suddenly a scripture comes alive. And that scripture tells you that the Lord is your shepherd. That scripture tells you that everything you lay your hand to do shall prosper. And you come out of your study. Instead of being down like you used to be, you begin to shout glory to God. And while you are shouting, nobody has promised you, but you are prophesying the scripture that you have caught. Because you know, if you can catch it in the word, then the natural have no choice but to obey. Many don't know the bread of life. That's why they are looking after men. Pursue men. And you will pity the way men rubbish other men. You come to seek somebody, and for 1 week, you come every day. He drives into the office and drives out. Sometimes when he's going, you stand by the gate, thinking when he sees you, he will stop. He will look at you and turn to the other side, and you still come tomorrow. That era of bondage has ended for somebody. Because a word will come in your direction that will take you from the pit and establish you on thrones. Did you not hear what Hannah said? He said he lifted the beggar from the dunghill and establishes him among princes that he will inherit thrones. You may be a beggar yesterday, but today a word comes to you. And that word will lift you from the pit wherein is no water and establish you, not just to fraternize with princes, but to inherit thrones. In the name of Jesus, I send that word in your direction. You may be struggling with sickness. He said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their infirmities. You have tried every doctor. You have tried everybody. I heard the story of John Austin's wife, the father of Joel Austin, a mighty apostle that walked so mightily in the anointing. Mightily. Suddenly, the wife was diagnosed of an incurable disease. The man prayed, nothing happened. all his contemporaries that were heavily anointed prayed, nothing happened. When the woman saw that even the anointing of the husband was not working. You know, when the devil wants to try your faith, sometimes he will allow you to go to the person you think is a god. And that person will pray, nothing will happen. The woman's husband was a rugged apostle with a cutting-edge healing dimension. Prayed, nothing happened. The biggest shots, you know, prayed, nothing happened. She now went and searched for 40 scriptures. Because doctors gave her 3 days to live. You have not seen the worst. 40 scriptures, and she sat on them from morning till night. She kept talking these scriptures to herself. Talking these scriptures to herself. Talking this scripture. 3 days passed. 8 days passed. 1 month passed. 1 year passed. 8 years passed. 10 years passed. Why? Because the bread had come. And when the bread comes, there is something it does. It re-energizes you from inside. Somebody is at the end, the lowest ebb of his life. Today, the word of the Lord comes to you. You shall not die, but live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. Too many dimensions of God's goodness. And the reason we keep reiterating this is to help you take your faith from yourself and put it on Jesus. It's to help you take your faith from men and put it on Jesus. And see the radical transformation you will enjoy. And tonight, I want to talk to us briefly about Jesus, the light. In John chapter 8, verse 12. In fact, John chapter 9, verse 5. Let's begin from there. Jesus speaking. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Listen, what I want to share with you tonight is very sensitive. I want you to calm down and take notes. I want you to pay attention, take it home, meditate on these scriptures. I know sometimes we enjoy it more when it's violent. We do that once in a while, but there are times when you need knowledge. Because the subject tonight is not a subject of fire, it's a subject of knowledge. He didn't say my people perish for lack of fire. He said my people perish for lack of knowledge. You can have fire and self-destruct. And since it's a subject on light, I want you to take something with you tonight. That's why I'm deliberately keeping it calm. Are we together? He said, so long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And in John chapter 8 verse 12, he talked, even went further to reiterate it. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That means, if you are not following Jesus, if you like, be a PhD holder in neurosurgery. If you like, be a PhD holder in abstract physics. If you like, be a PhD holder in hydrodynamics. If you like, be a PhD holder in aeronautic science. If you are not following Jesus, it means you are walking in darkness. First, he said, so long as I'm in the world, I am. There are no two lights in this world. So long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Everything apart from Jesus is darkness. I'm telling you because there are many believers that pride themselves so much in what they have studied. You have not introduced them until you add professor of pneumatology. If you don't add that title, they will not speak with you for 6 months. Because you didn't honor them. They are not well introduced until you say Apostle Dr. ABC. Then they will stand up and act in humility. But call their names without adding those appellations. Apostle and Doctor. If you like, call the Apostle and don't add the Doctor. The guy will look for one way to get to you and tell you, why now? You mean you all this while that we've been together, you don't know me? Come on, why do you do that? I don't like that. He will lose his peace. Even in a service, somebody comes for service because you didn't introduce him. He will not, if you like, let an angel jump on the altar in that service. He will not interact with that angel. His discernment will shut down because you didn't introduce him. How come? Is it that I'm now too small? You mean you didn't see me? Are you trying to say that thing? You must apologize. If you don't apologize for it, and the next time he comes for the meeting, you better write his name on paper and keep it bold. Because if you forget it, he will now say this thing is deliberate. Now I know. All of those rat race, no matter how we do them, Jesus is saying, if you don't know me and follow me, he said you are in darkness. Because I am the light of the world. He didn't say I am a light in the world. If he said I am a light in the world, it would have implied there are many other lights. Physics would have been a light. This electric bulb would have been a light. Anything that you put your pride on would have been a light. But he said, I am the light. It's a definite article. There is no other light in this world apart from me. So there are many people today who don't have an experiential relationship with Jesus. They believe so much in their profession. They believe so much in their connection. I came to announce to you that you are in darkness. And you don't know what darkness can do. It's in the day of trouble that you will see your vulnerability. Because when darkness comes for you, oh my, darkness can lick up everything you stand for in one day. Everything you built all your life, one day, darkness can lick it up. People think darkness is blackout. Darkness is not blackout. The same way light is not illumination like this. This can be going on and the place can be in darkness. Because darkness is not blackout. There are 5 layers of darkness in this world. And different people are walking in those different layers. I will outline them to you so that you will see and know the layer where you are walking in. And then you will know the nature of light you need to embrace. What I'm teaching you tonight is something you will carry. Go and sit down, write those scriptures out and meditate on it. Because if you don't know it, after 40 years, you will weep. Because it is at the end of your life that you take stock. And at that time, you will discover that you have been robbed all your life. And the unfortunate thing is that life is not lived twice. That's why you can't afford to make mistakes. If this life is something you can live twice, you can say, when I try again, I will cover up. There's nothing like try again. It is appointed unto man to die once. Afterwards is judgment. I am the light of the world. If you don't follow me, you will walk in darkness. How many people are walking in darkness today? Helplessly walking in darkness. Some are not even aware. Because the only light they know is blackout. You know, even God dwells in blackout, in thick darkness. Can I show you some scriptures? So that you understand that darkness is not blackout. Let me show you some scripture. Exodus chapter 20 verse 21. It said, and Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. This kind of darkness is blackout. That's why I told you, the darkness we are dealing with is not light out. It's not blackout. Because even God hides himself inside thick darkness. So when we off these bulbs, that's not what we are talking about. We are talking about something more vicious, something more treacherous than just blackout. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 verse 12, it said the clouds and darkness, they surround God. Clouds and darkness. So blackout is not what we are talking about. Because even in the realm of God, there is so much blackout, he hides himself there. Psalm 97 verse 2, the same scripture reiterated verbatim. If darkness is not blackout, what then is darkness? There are 5 layers of darkness. The first layer of darkness is what we call absence of direction. It is ignorance. That's the darkness that dwells within. Hope you know, there are people today that you talk to about Jesus, they say you are a religious bigot. They are so ignorant and so blinded that they think all there is about life is their brain. Their brain that is not bigger than their fist. They think that is all their life is about. So when you talk, they sit down and analyze with logic. And they call A, call B, call C. And it makes sense to them. And they clap hand and they say, get out. In fact, when you try to emphasize it, they say, this is a fanatic. They now start pitying you. The problem with this kind of people is that the moment they leave this body, they will enter the realm of knowledge. They won't need anybody to teach them. That's when they will just remember. You know, it would have been better people don't have remembrance in eternity. One of the greatest pains you will feel in eternity, if you don't know Jesus, is the fact that you can remember. You will not remember all the time they spoke to you about Jesus and you say no. You will wish you would have gone back. Like the rich fool, when he saw Abraham in Abraham's bosom, he cried for a drop of water. He said, there's a gulf between us. It can't happen. He now started begging. I know my brothers were wise like me, but their wisdom is foolishness. Please send somebody there. And Abraham told him the worst answer of his life and death. Abraham said, there are Moses and the prophet on earth. The guy became afraid immediately. I saw Moses and the prophet. I didn't believe them. My brother won't believe. Send somebody from the dead. Nobody is coming from the dead. The message of the dead is for the dead. You meet some people, they carry textbooks like this. And they hold the textbook as if the textbook is God. Those days when we were in the university, engineering students, they are not reading. They have this textbook they call Taraja. Written by some Indian authors. When you are in the class reading, around 1, that's when they come. They are coming to sleep. But they want you to know that this kind of textbook, we read it when weak people leave the class. You don't read it among dull people like those of you studying other courses. So some of them, when they are coming, they will hold the taraja like this with 2 hands. Some even put the taraja in leather and they will hold the leather bag. It's 1 book. The book is like this. As if it's the book of life. And sometimes when they are reading it, they will frown. When you ask them, what if you just say, who are you? They say, I'm engineer. I didn't say, what do you do? I say, who are you? Your answer shows that you are in darkness. I didn't say, what do you do? Who are you? I'm engineer. No, engineer is what you do. Who are you? Because the person has not even searched the blueprint of heaven to find out who he is. When they met John, who are you? He said, I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. You are what God says you are, not what your profession named you. What your profession named you is the assignment and the platform on earth for you to deliver ordination. But when you find people who are in darkness, they pride themselves in things. The moment the faith and the trust of a man is in things, no matter how educated he is, he's in darkness. Ignorance is not the absence of Western education. Ignorance is actually the absence of truth. They don't know truth from the realms of eternity. So they define themselves by things. They define themselves by mundane titles. Is it good to study? I'm a PhD student. I'm not speaking against studying. I did my first degree. I did my master's degree. I'm still doing a PhD. It was COVID that slowed me down. I should have finished by now. So I'm not against knowledge. But I'm telling you, those things that were discovered by mundane men cannot define my essence. I know more than chemistry. I know truth. I know something that even if you take it from earth to heaven, it's still the same. The fact that you know, if you take it into another spectrum, it will change. Because it can be redefined in different contexts. But there's a truth that cannot be redefined. It's the knowledge of the holy. It's the knowledge of the I am that I am. is the knowledge of the one who himself is light. It doesn't just illuminate light. He is the substance of light. That kind of knowledge, when a man enters into it, he has been delivered from ignorance. And anybody who doesn't have that knowledge is walking and groping in darkness. So the first kind of darkness is darkness within. The first kind of darkness is ignorance of the things that are holy. Some people are Christians, they are still in darkness. Come online today and mention offering. See the way Christians will take dagger and begin to fight you. Because they think offering is a way of church collecting money from people. That's why they give offering when they hear a strong message. But those who know that offering is a way of honoring God, when they give cheerfully and they give with fear and trembling. Because they don't need to be motivated to give. There is something in their heart that wants to honor God. So every time they come before the Lord, they cannot come empty. There are many believers today who are walking in darkness. There are most people here today that their mentors are on Facebook. They will come with Bible and read four and five verses and confuse them and turn them against pastors, turn them against preachers. They don't know that they are not just turning them against ministers of God. They are trying to make them know that God can no longer be represented by men. And after a while, if God cannot be represented by men anymore, then God will become a fairy tale in the generations to come. They don't understand that these are patterns of the demonic. And so every man of God who is doing well is a thief or is an enemy. And so they turn against preachers, turn against the ordinances of God. They don't know that they are selling off the future of their children. Because their children will come and they will see church as an alien environment. They will see men of God as demonic people. And after a while, only old men will be in church. When you talk to the youth, they won't find it anymore. Because they were mentored into believing that nothing is right in the kingdom. It's a kind of darkness that is dangerous. Men walking in ignorance and they are not even aware. The second kind of darkness is environmental. We call it a state of gloominess, a state of formlessness, a state of voidness, and a state of destruction. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, it said the earth was without form. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. So when you see chaos, when you see trouble, when you see a lack of cohesion, a lack of government, and a lack of order, there is darkness. Many don't know. Many times, even in the church, you'll find us fighting ourselves, bringing disorder into the church because of our sentiments and our appetites. And we think we are winning. That's why Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Because when there is destruction, when there is disorder, when there is voidness, darkness have entered. So you can come to the choir and three people have kept malice for 1 year. Why? Because one is the one that is always singing. And then they come to the altar and smile, sing songs that people know. And because those songs in themselves are anointed, they think they are bringing ministry. They are actually pouring darkness on the congregation. And after a while, you will discover that people who come to church will become weaker and weaker. The things that they have overcome before, they don't know why they are going back to fall into those things. The reason is because the people don't have light. They don't know that the distortion, the argument, the malice has divided the house and it has opened a gate for the enemy. The reason why if you are offended, you don't make peace because you are right. You make peace because of order. Because the battle is beyond who is right and who is wrong. The battle is the devil trying to create an allowance where his own government can find expression. If there is chaos, then the demon can come in. If there is chaos, then the devil can come in. You see two pastors fighting
And you see all kinds of perception engineering. One is preaching and using psychology, trying to turn people against themselves. And we think we are doing well. Everybody can turn against the other one, and you can win. But what you didn't know is that you didn't win. You actually robbed the generation of light. Because the day everyone turned against themselves, that day the devil had a foothold. But we don't understand darkness. So every time, because of our sentiment and our appetite, we keep creating chaos amidst ourselves. Even if somebody offended you and he was arrogant about it, why not keep quiet? Jesus said, if you are following a man for a mile and he insists, he said, go another mile. If he takes your shirt, give him your jacket. If he slaps you, turn the other side. But by all means, don't be the one that creates a platform for the devil. Because darkness is chaos. It happens in our families. You see husband and wife fighting. And the reason the wife is fighting with all her might is because she knows that today, when people come to hear, they will know that my husband is wrong. She's fighting because she knows she's right. And when they come to settle, she will be the justified. What you don't know is that after they give you the throne and the crown of being right, and you settle, the devil has already come in. You will now discover that your being right is nothing compared to the atmosphere of peace that exists there. And if that chaos is allowed, after a while, destruction will come. Why don't we have territorial authority? Because there is always disunity. People can't pay the price to ensure that there is peace and order. And the reason is because we don't know that chaos is of the devil. He said, a house divided against itself can never stand. Somebody will need to go back home today. Even though your husband is outrightly wrong, you will kneel down and apologize. Because you know that this thing is beyond who is right or who is wrong. Somebody will go back today and you will forget the fact that you are the head of the home. You will go and meet your wife and apologize for the sake of peace, not because you are right or you are wrong. Because that darkness you are creating, by the time you see the outcome, you will weep for many years. Darkness is chaos. Darkness is destruction. It's not just blackout. Number three, darkness are demonic operations or evil works. Any operation that is demonic, any operation that strives to advance the will of demons, whether it is orchestrated by demons themselves or by men, is called darkness. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So what demons come to do is to marshal their own operations into families, into territories, to ensure that their will find expression. And so when you find anything happening that is not consistent with the nature of God, just know that darkness is at work. Don't be part of it. It's either you advocate and intercede for those things to be halted, or you remove your hand. Don't be part of anything that is an orchestration of the demonic. It's called darkness. In Psalm 91 verse 5 and 6, he gave us some activity of the demonic. He says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. What's happening in the nation of Ukraine today is darkness at work. It's not just kings trying to fight for territories. They are orchestration of demons. It happened before in Babylon. We have seen it before. It's not starting today. It's darkness at work. It's not about who is right or who is wrong. It's an operation of the devil. Sometimes they are orchestrated by demons, and sometimes they are orchestrated by men. I'm saying this so that you can begin to review your life, review your environment. There are many times you didn't know you participated in the activity of darkness because it affected your ego. Somebody said something, you said, me? Is it me you spoke to? And then you went and fought for 3 months. People had to kneel down to beg you to satisfy your ego before you calm down. For those three months, you were an agent of darkness. You may be speaking in tongues, very loud. You can even stand up around 12 midnight and say you are warring. You are actually an agent of darkness for those 3 months. Those 3 months that you fought to defend your ego. Those 3 months that you fought to defend your appetite. Even though it was creating an atmosphere for demons and you didn't care, you became an agent of the devil. And you are not better than the reckless beast that is raging war against the nation of Ukraine. You may hear this and you think you know it. Jesus said in John 3:19, he said, this is the condemnation of the world. He said, light has come into the world, but the people love darkness. Somebody may still live here today, and even while he's stepping out of the meeting, they offend him. He can't hold his peace. The Holy Ghost said, keep quiet, keep quiet. He said, God, I will apologize later. This matter now, if I don't tell him, he will not know. Do you think it's about knowing? Who told you the person doesn't know? A demon is pushing past somebody. Instead of you to hold your peace, you think it's a, how come you have told 10 people and they've never known? You have called witnesses and the people have still not known. It's not about mental knowledge. It's an orchestration of the devil. Too many men are in darkness and too many men are agents of darkness. They come to you and gossip somebody. You don't even know the foundation. You don't know the truth. The next thing, you start propagating it. And you are picking offense with everybody. And you don't even know what happened. That's why we gather in our number. But when you truly begin to censor our heart, we are agents of different spirits. We make decrees, they don't come to pass. Because you will be shocked that in that same place where people are holding hands and praying, some people are keeping malice with themselves. And they say, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. How come 100 of you have gathered, nothing is happening? The church in Nigeria today, 2 million people can gather and pray for one thing, it will not be answered. 2 million people, whereas the Bible says 2 or 3. Our own 2 million does not have the stature of 2 or 3. Because when you check that 2 million, 1 million are keeping malice. 1 million are fighting somebody. 1 million have backbeaten somebody. They have robbed it. In fact, our ear love gossip. They can be preaching the gospel, you are sleeping. But the moment they say, did you hear what Anita said? Your body begins to eat you. Hey, what did she say? What? No, I don't want to talk. You will buy the person clothes and buy the person a gift because you want to hear what Anita said. And if that person doesn't tell you, you can't sleep. You will make 1,000 calls to hear what Anita said. And there is chaos everywhere. Chaos! And so men prophesy, nothing happened. They pray, nothing happened. The third layer of darkness. If I were you, I'll be checking my heart. Fourth layer of darkness are devils themselves. Agents of the devil. Not just their activity. Demons themselves. And wicked and unreasonable men. They are darkness. Darkness is not just an activity. They are also beings. There are some beings that are expressions of darkness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5. It says, ye are children of light. Because light is a person. Darkness is also a person. It says, ye are children of light. That's why Jesus said, I am the light. And if Jesus is light, demonic beings are darkness. And the children of the day, he said, we are not of night. Darkness is a substance, it's a personality. So he said, you are not of that personality. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. He said, darkness have blinded the eyes of those that do wickedly. And in 2 Corinthians 4:3, it makes us understand that that darkness is the person. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is he to them that are lost, whom the prince of this world, the god of this world, have blinded. So darkness migrates from ignorance. It steps into gloominess, darkness, destructions. It steps into as the cure to ignorance. He was referring to himself as the cure to destruction and chaos. He was referring to himself as the darkness. That's the worst darkness. This type of darkness takes you to, we call it the grave. In Matthew chapter 4, migrate to a level where there is chaos around his environment, and he can migrate to a level where the activities of demons around him is either masturbating, fornicating, backbiting, keeping all kinds of malice. He can't even help himself. Or he gets to a level where demons literally torment him. Or he comes to a state of godlessness and he says, I don't need God anymore. For all of these operations, Jesus is the only answer. So when he said, I am the light, it means you cannot be cured of ignorance unless you meet Jesus. When he said, I am the light, it means the chaos and the trouble of your life, your family, and your territory cannot be addressed except as Jesus intervenes. When he said, I am the light, what it goes to mean is that the operations of the devil around your life, be it sickness, be it manipulations, be it iniquity, you can't be helped out of it unless you encounter him. When he said, I'm the light, what it means is that you can do nothing about demons. Your English language can't affect them. Except as Jesus comes into the equation. And when he said, I am the life, it means you cannot have a relationship with God except you meet Jesus. Let me show you a few scriptures so that you go and study. I'll make this outline available so that you go and read it and meditate upon it. Because where I'm going now, the energy in my soul is beginning to rise. I'm trying to manage it. And if you rise it, it may be difficult. Darkness is ignorance. So when Jesus said, I'm the light, it means Jesus is truth. Without the truth of Christ, you can't be cured from ignorance. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them with thy word. It says, for thy word is truth. So, you don't know truth except you know Jesus. Truth is different from true. Truth is different from fact. For example, when somebody is healed, what actually happened to the person is that divine health is superimposed over sickness. Because the truth is, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. It's not we will be healed. Somebody can have cancer now. And the fact is that there's cancer. You can see the growth. That cancer is true. That cancer is fact, but it is not truth. The reason is because if you bring that person into the spectrum of the world will prove that that thing is a lie. And the world will so prove it that when the person comes out from interacting with the world, you won't see that thing anymore. So the truth rules over truth. Truth rules over fact. Because what is fact here cannot be fact here. At least we understand that from the study of light. What you call a color is actually what is reflected because of the quality of light absorbed. When you change that spectrum of light, the color will change. The plant is green because it's under ultraviolet ray. If you take it under infrared ray, the color will change. If you take it under any another ray, colors will keep changing. When you are seeing the plant under the sun, you can swear with your life and say this is green. It's not green. It's the sun that is telling you it's green. Because when it absorbs ultraviolet ray, it emits green color. When you take that plant under another ray, you will be shocked that you swore in vain. And under that change in condition, they will kill you and they will be justified in killing you. Because you swore without verifying whether what you are doing is true or truth. There are many people today who assume that the things of God is fanaticism. Because they are on earth. The moment their soul departs from their body into eternity, they don't need any preacher. Eternity itself will tell them that they were wrongly educated in the other dispensation. And so the cure to eternal ignorance is truth. When Jesus said, I am the light, Jesus was actually saying, I am the truth. That means anything you can't find in me is a lie. And it can impact your life so heavily. You can be on your way to Lagos, and when you check Jesus, Lagos is not part of your ordination. They may promise you a job in Lagos. Lagos is a lie. And if you go there, you will dislocate from eternity. The things you will meet there, there will be no divine backing to support you. The reason many people are struggling is because they have traveled with fact. The reason many people are struggling is because they have traveled with truth. They didn't meet truth. Some people are married because the guy was a banker. In fact, a bank manager. And when he showed up, all his suits are Italian suits. And he's driving a Mercedes Jeep. And then they look at truth. They look at fact. And they jump in. Meanwhile, from the spectrum of eternity, that guy has 5 more years to live. Because what was allocated from eternity is 35. The guy is now 30. Meanwhile, you are checking Jeep. You are checking broad chest. You are checking Italian suit. The allocation is 35. Meanwhile, the carpenter you are running away from. From the race of eternity. He is supposed to live for 80 years old. And his destiny will open at 35. Now he's 30. You have not checked with truth. You ran with truth. And you married the... It's when the banker died that the other one will start growing. I'm not talking about a banker. So if you're a banker here, don't go and break your relationship with the banker. People are running with truth. They don't know truth. When you discover that Jesus is the true light that lighted every man that cometh into the world, no matter what your circumstance look like, you will wait to find him. You will wait. Many people have not seen the light of God and they journey into nothingness. Job 29 verse 4, he says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I ran through darkness. So even when Job was at the lowest ebb of his life, he knew what he saw in the spirit. And in Job 42 verse 10, he said, the Lord blessed Job and gave him double for everything he lost. A man who is walking by light can never be disadvantaged. Many times, the reason we run into dead ends is because we didn't consort with truth. We ran with truth and truth became ignorance. We ran with fact and fact became ignorance. If you will be patient enough to interact with the light until truth appears to you, even if it looks as if you are going against a mountain, wait until you get there. You will be shocked that there is a dimension called come out with joy.
and go forth with peace, and the mountain will break before you with singing. You may not even need to talk. What you carry will advance that mountain. People come to church, they don't even want to seek what God is saying about their life, because they were not taught that there's a dimension of Christ called light. They just want the man of God to say, this thing will work. Sometimes people come to you, they want you to bless what God has not blessed. They are insisting on something, and when you check the parameters in the spirit, it's obvious this is not God. They want you to bless it because they've made up their mind, because they don't know truth. If you are not walking with truth, you are in darkness. You may be on the mountaintop today. After 3 years, you'll discover that that place is a pit. You were seen from the wrong plane. The devil painted a mirage. And so, one thing God will do for you from this service is that as you depart, the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world will begin to appear to you. You may be sleeping, it doesn't matter. You may be studying. Sometimes you may even be on your road. How did I come to Abuja? I was in a shop cutting my hair, and suddenly the mirror became a screen, and that was when I saw Encounter Jesus. I was not praying. I was in a barbing salon, but light came from heaven. You can't deny it when it appears. If I were to start a ministry with my senses, I will not use a name like Encounter Jesus. I don't want to use a name that looks as if you coupled it. What kind of name is this? I was thinking of Royal Priesthood Apostolic Nation. Look at you. Those who are close to me know. I battled. I said, no way. How can I answer? What is Encounter? What kind of name is that? People now think it's one of these backyard prophets that just came out and is looking for something. The more I said Royal Priesthood Apostolic Nation, the more truth opposed it. He said, that is not what was written in eternity. If you want to do what appeals to the ear of men, when men give up on you, you will sink. But if you find what was sculpted in eternity, like David, even if you go to the cave, men will find you there. I know you want to do what you think you are good at. If you do what you are good at, you may never deploy grace. And so truth will come to show you what is. In Psalm 119 verse 105, it said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The way to deal with ignorance is to besiege him until his perspective is revealed to you. Do you see why many Christians walk in ignorance? Because they don't have the patience and the time to wait until they see the light of heaven. When they go to wait on him, something comes to distract them. They are looking for a quick fix. And so they are running. They are running. They think people make progress by running. In this kingdom, people make progress by waiting. Because it's when the light appears that you can move. If the light has not appeared, you are in trouble. I've told you many times, if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. Don't let anybody push you into something. We are in an age of motivational speaking. They will come and put picture on Facebook and tell you, this person started with 10 naira. Today is a millionaire. I'm not against it. But make sure it's God that spoke to you. Because when you journey out, you will discover that darkness can be treacherous. And when it takes you to a place of no return, that's where it will strike you. Because it's first of all ignorance, but at the end it's a demon. When Jesus said, I'm the light, he was actually saying, I am the truth that cures ignorance. The second dimension of the light of Jesus is that he is a habitation. Jesus is not just wisdom and illumination that brings you deliverance from ignorance. Jesus is also a dwelling place. In Psalm 91 from verse 1, the Bible began to speak about the habitation dimension of Jesus. And he spoke about they that dwell in the secret place of the Almighty, of the Most High, that abides under the shadow of the Almighty. If Jesus is not a covering over you, when you enter an environment when there is chaos, you will be frustrated and you will see trouble. So Jesus is not just a set of instructions that bring illumination. Jesus is also a dwelling place. That's why it said in Ephesians 1:3 that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus is not just a person, he's also a dwelling place. Many people are living outside.
It's okay.
Outside the covering of Jesus. You can run to a man. No man can substitute Jesus in your life. You can run to anybody or any system. If anything takes the place of Jesus in your life, it's called idolatry. Including an apostolic center like this one. Including spiritual father in the Lord. I know I'm father to some of you. I know this is an apostolic center. But the day either me or this apostolic center takes the place of Jesus, you're already in idolatry. You may not know it. And many people are like that. Because they want to fight to defend their church. They will willingly and boldly walk in the wrong direction. And they are defending their church. They will go in the wrong direction. They are defending their spiritual father. And they continue in this erroneous journey until they no longer find Jesus. In the day of trouble, they will now discover that church doesn't save anybody. In the day of trouble, they will now discover that men save nobody. Only Jesus is the true covering of every man. When he said, I'm the light, he's inviting you. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein, they are saved. He said in Acts 4:12, there is no name under heaven by which men must be saved. Only Jesus is the covering that we need. The generation of people that know not the Lord as a covering are in trouble. Is this to talk against the place of a church? No. Is this to talk against the place of an apostolic center? No. This is one. Is this to talk against spiritual covering in form of men? No. I am also a father to people. But I'm telling you that our assignment is secondary only to Jesus. Every man must find Christ as his eternal covering. And so in any situation of your life, there must be either an encounter or a revelation of Jesus that is providing a shield for you. Be it in your marriage, in your job, in your relationship, whatever it is. If you don't have a revelation that provides a covering, you are in trouble. Because as the light, he is also the roof over your life. Because sometimes the battles you will fight will be environmental in nature. And so like Israel, when you walk through the wilderness, you need the Shekinah as a pillar of cloud in the day to shield you from the sun and as a pillar of fire at night. Jesus is that covering. Too many people are exposed in different aspects of their lives. There's no covering for their marriage. There's no covering for their job. And somebody can just come and speak to your boss and they kick you out. For what? Because there's no covering. Another woman can just go and dress naked and see. He shows up and kicks his wife out. For what? You are not the kind of wife that will be kicked out of your home. Because you didn't stroll into that home. A revelation took you there. And that revelation will be a covering even when there is crisis. How can somebody, your son just goes to the university and the next thing he joins an occult group? Or your daughter goes to the university, she comes back with pregnancy. For what? Before they came out, there was a revelation. Before my own came, he said he's a prophet. And we are not waiting for him to grow before we start calling him. He was a prophet before he was conceived in his mother's womb. Those revelations become covering.
That's how men live against darkness. When a man does not have revelation that shields him in any situation or in any environment, it means he has not met Jesus the light. Because Jesus the light is a covering. The third dimension of Jesus the light settles your troubles. I told us before now that the platform upon which we manifest is not this one I'm working on. This one is a training center. The platform upon which a believer manifests are the crises of life. Go and read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Everything you called a miracle was a stumbling block. Everything you called a sign and a wonder was a stumbling block. If these men did not have challenges, there wouldn't have been anything to write about them. The scripture would have been void of miracles. How do you know Jesus is a healer? Because there were cripples, there were deaf men, there were blind men. How do you know Jesus blesses people? Because there were fishermen that were turned to veterans. Crises don't scare believers. Crises are platform for manifesting the excellency of God. But that cannot happen unless Jesus becomes your light. When Jesus becomes your light, he becomes the strategy you require for navigating through trouble. That's why I say when men are cast down, you will just show up and say, I am lifted up. And people think you are foolish. You are not talking because you want to speak English. You are talking because a strategy has been revealed to you. A way has been shown you in the wilderness. But you need to know this Jesus that is the solution to every crisis of life for you to walk through crisis and not notice. He said, you will walk through the water, you will not be drowned. You will walk through the fire, you will not be burned. How will these things be? Because there is light in Christ. Somebody will receive a light from this service. There were certain battles that drove you here. As you are living, while you are yet on the way, a wisdom will just fall into your mind. And you will discover that that thing that would have taken you down will become the platform for your manifestation. When we tell you these things, believe them. We are not talking just because we want to speak. I told you, I went to Mubi. A lady and her husband married for 5 years without an issue. I was tired and exhausted. They brought the child. They brought themselves to me. I said, by this time next year, I will return here and you will carry your child. I forgot, but I spoke the word of the Lord. Even though I forgot, God didn't forget. Because he said, I watch my word to perform it. He said, I'm the Lord that confirmed the words of my servant and performed the counsels of my messengers. I speak concerning someone here today. Crises and challenges have given you a negative identity. But in the name of Jesus the light, step into a new order of blessing. He said, carry with you words. Don't carry people. Carry words. Carry words. In the day of trouble, you will marvel at what those words can do. They will start jumping out of your spirit like bullets. Like bullets. Because they were created to walk in trouble. So they may look dormant in your spirit. Wait for challenges to come. You are going somewhere, they told you it will not work. You say, not me. You don't even know when you said it. Because you have told yourself too many times. The word has come to you too many times. That you cannot fail. And even though they told you you will fail. And every circumstance suggests you are a failure. The word will jump out of your spirit. We don't fail. When you find a man walking like that. He has encountered light. Because he is the cure to chaos. I know there are many things around you today that makes it easier for you to not to believe than to believe. But if you will hold on to Christ, you will be amazed that the light does not shine in light. You will not see the excellency of light in light. It's when you take light into darkness. It can be a candle. Bring a candlestick here. It will be almost embarrassed and insulted. But take that candlestick outside where there is darkness. You will see how that candlestick suddenly will begin to glow as if it was such an excellent light Why is that so? Because the excellency of light is revealed in darkness. You may have thought that what you are going through, you are the only person going through it. A faint expression of light will make a mess of that chaos, and it will come out as if you are a Superman. It's not because you are a Superman, it's because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Somebody is receiving a word, a spirit. It may not even be what I'm speaking. It may be what God has told you 10 years ago that you have forgotten. But the Holy Ghost is going back now to excavate that word and to energize that word. And as you step out from here, you will put that word to work, and you will see breakthrough that will blow your mind. 2 Mondays ago, we were just praying here, and the word of the Lord came. He said, in the next 7 days, somebody will have a car. We were a handful. It doesn't even look like it. Sir, as at now, there are 4 cars. See, I told you, I'm not looking for an explosive service. But that's one of the cars. I'm not talking about... It's not pure water that we are talking about. 2 of them are Mercedes Jeeps. Mercedes Jeeps. I'm going to dedicate one after this service. Is the car available now? It's outside. 4 cars. We said 4 came. 4. I've not heard of this one. Another one has come. When we tell you these things, believe it. We are not just here for people to fall under the power, and they are packing them forward, and you are praying, oh, God is here, God is here. When we tell you, and the word of the Lord comes in your direction, things begin to happen immediately. I was talking like this on Tuesday. A guy was online shouting, amen, amen. This was in the evening. They sent him an invitation letter for an interview. Was it Tuesday or Sunday? On Sunday. Who was walking? He couldn't hold himself. He shouted and dropped it on the comment box. That even right now that the word is ongoing, that they have sent him an interview. And these are people who have been looking for jobs for years. How come it's at the instance of the word? That's what they are projecting there. Somebody is listening to me now. The crisis that have made a mess of your life, you receive a word encounter that will turn that crisis to your manifestation. We are not here to psych ourselves. It would have been a gross waste of our time. A terrible waste of our time. There's somebody here, you are trusting God for a husband. By September this year, by September, you are walking through the aisle. Nobody has come, but hear the word of the Lord. By September this year, we will be part of that celebration. Because the siege, the marital siege, that have created a chaos in your life, on ground and online, in the name of Jesus, that siege is broken. He comes to address chaos. There are too many chaos in people's lives. Some it has to do with their health. Some it has to do with their circumstances. People who genuinely want to serve God, but nothing seems to be working. There are some who cannot even pay for their transport fare to come for a meeting they want to come for. In the name of Jesus the Christ, that thing that have created a calamity around your life, hear the word of the Lord. In this same lifetime, you will rubbish it. What you have struggled for 10 years and you couldn't have, I speak to you by the word of the Lord. In the next 1 month, you will not just have it, but you will make it happen for others.
He said, though you have been frustrated, you have been made desolate, no man walketh through thee. He said, but the Lord will restore you, and you shall become a joy of many generations. I speak to you by the Spirit. Every area of your life that have been stunted, the word of the Lord comes to you now. In the name of Jesus, receive grace to come out of it. He said, I've seen an abomination upon the face of the earth, that princes are walking, trekking, while beggars are riding on horses. Everyone here with a kingly ordination in Christ, that the devil has made a ridicule of, on ground and online, in the name of Jesus, I bring you into your true ordination. Receive your crown. Receive your scepter. Receive your crown. Receive your scepter. In the name of Jesus. It's an abomination for princes to be trekking while beggars are riding. Some of you have been kicked out of offices that was legitimately yours. Some of you have been denied things that were legitimately yours. Hear this. Before the next 7 days, there will be a restoration. There will be a restoration. There will be a restoration in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing people being promoted in the next 7 days. Your promotion has been due for over 3 years. Somebody sat on it. I speak by the Spirit. He said he blasted from his nostrils and parted the Red Sea. The wind of the Lord comes against that one sitting on your promotion. And in the name of Jesus, he's blown off that position. Every power that have held you down, hear the word of the Lord. Between now and the next 7 days, I move you forward. There are many of you who are gifted, talented, you are skillful, but the devil has rubbished all your gift. The Lord brings you visibility. The Lord brings you visibility. In the next 7 days, most of you, you will receive jobs. Jobs that you have only desired. You will receive jobs. You will receive appointments. You will receive breakthroughs. In the name of the Lord Jesus. He said he sent his word to Jacob, a lightning upon Israel. You trek to this place. Hear me. You trek to this place. Before the month of March is over, you will drive here with your car. There are some of you, chaos have even made it difficult for you to pray. It looks as if prayer has become a struggle. The fire on your altar is reactivated. And from your altar, you begin to create changes. From your altar, you begin to create changes. From your altar, you begin to create changes. Many people have compromised because of pain, because of lack, because of want. He said, the enemy shall not kindle upon you, neither the son of wickedness afflict you. I speak to you today. Everything that have made you compromise, everything that have made you backslide, in the name of the Lord Jesus, receive the power to come out of those pits. Receive the power to come out of those pits. You are not defeated. It said the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. It said the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. In the name of Jesus, your light appears now. Your light appears now. Your light appears now. Everything that has created chaos in your life and in your walk with God, light shows up for you now. There are some who have been in ministry for 7 years. It looks like a child's play. For 10 years, it looks like a child's play. Praying all night, fasting, studying the word, yet nothing is happening. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the hand of God comes upon you now. The hand of God comes upon you now.
and like Elijah that outran the chariots of Ahab, go forward by the Spirit.
How can you, a believer with the Holy Ghost, you study, yet you keep failing? Is physics that hard? Is mathematics that hard? Is biochemistry that hard? Is engineering that hard? Is it that hard? In the name of Jesus, I speak over you an excellent spirit, such as was upon Daniel, that he was 10 times better than his peer. Go back to those classes. You will not just excel, but you will be distinguished. In the name of the Lord Jesus, step into the excellent dimension of life. Step into the excellent dimension of life. Please sit down. You are not defeated. The fourth dimension of light is authority. Because darkness are demons and devils. And so a man who has light will have authority. That's why the more you grow in the revelation of Jesus, the more you grow in authority. In Mark 16:17, he said, in my name you shall cast out demons. The more you encounter light, the more your authority grows. You don't need to pray in tongues for 2 hours to cast out demons. You need revelation of the person of Christ and his name to cast out demons. When you grow in revelation, you grow in authority. In John 14 verse 12, he said, they that believeth in me, he said, the works that I do is a greater works than this shall ye do. I know you have struggled over things. You fasted, you had vigils. What you need is light. It's light that will substantiate the spiritual engagement. My sisters will not get married. Second one, 34. The other two, 32. All forms of prayers, all forms of vigils. These are beautiful ladies, well-cultured ladies. A demon placed a siege on them. Fasting and praying, yet there will be no breakthrough. And one day I woke up and he said, you are the priest over your house. Ah. And he said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? Immediately light came. I summoned all of them. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I said to you, in the name of Jesus, I send you forth into your homes. In 6 months, 3 people who are over 34 and 32 all suddenly got married. Not because there was a 3 week fast, and I'm not talking against it, but because light came. The light you need to walk in the authority to change your story. Receive that light now. The devil is not so powerful. Men are just ignorant. In Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, he said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Not because the devil is powerful. The moment light comes, authority is conferred. And there are most of you here, you need authority in the academia. There are most of you, you need authority in the economic world. There are most of you, you need authority in your jobs and in your profession. There are most of you, you need authority in your career. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the light you require to walk in that authority, receive it now. Amen. Authority is what makes the difference. But it takes revelation to walk in authority. And so when next you pray, in addition to your prayer stamina, let light appear to you. When next you study, in addition to your memorizing of scripture, let light appear to you. When next you fast, in addition to your grace to tarry, let light appear to you. Because that light is what will make the difference. As we are speaking casually like this, because of light, anything we want to change, we can change it.
If I want the power of God to begin to minister to people now, it will start happening now. I don't need keyboard. I don't need a loud sound to do it. I know what I carry. It's not pride. It's revelation. I can choose to keep this service calm to the end. And if I want to switch this service so that you are not able to sit on your seat, I can do it in 1 minute. When you walk in authority, you don't need gymnastics. By revelation, you speak, things happen. And the one you don't have, if you like, shout from morning to night, it won't happen. And so in the name of Jesus, I decree that you are blessed. In the name of Jesus, I decree that you prosper. In the name of Jesus, I decree all you lay your hands to do in righteousness prospers. The fourth dimension of light is Christ himself. Because if darkness are devils and demons, then light is also the person of Christ. And so if you have not received Christ in your life, you are in darkness. You may be here, you have been in church all your life. Coming to church is not light. It's receiving Jesus that is light. You may know the church language. You may be an interpreter to an evangelist. You may be a preacher yourself. But there has never been a time when you accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life. You are in darkness. Because Jesus said in John 9, so long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He said, they that follow me will not walk in darkness. So I don't have so much respect to the fact that you have been coming to church for the past 10 years. It means nothing that you were born into a Christian home. It doesn't matter that your father was a prophet or an apostle. It doesn't even matter if you were born on the altar. If you have not consciously received Jesus into your life as your Lord and personal Savior, you are in darkness. You may escape the ignorant dimension of darkness because you may have learned one or two principles and you are applying them well. You may escape the chaos dimension of darkness because you are applying principles well. But I tell you, you can't escape demons and you cannot escape godlessness. Eternity will reveal to you how godless you are. The cure to darkness in perpetuity is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so if you are here tonight, the first way to walk in the eternal dimension of light is to accept Jesus as your Lord. Because it's either ignorance will ravage you, or chaos will ravage you, or the works of demons will ravage you, or demons themselves will ravage you, or eternity will ravage you. The godlessness dimension of darkness is the worst. Because you will realize it when you can never change it. It's in eternity. And so if there's anybody here, I know you have come to church for 5 years. You have come to church for 10 years. If there's anybody here, I know you were born into a Christian family. Your father is even a pastor. But there has never been a time when you used your mouth to call Jesus the Lord of your life. There's an opportunity for you now to say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of darkness. I want you to become my Lord and Savior. This is an apostolic training center. It's more about maturing people. And so usually you hardly find altar calls, but you never can tell that sometimes it's even a head of department that have never made that decision, but he knows church language. Sometimes it could even be the least person you expect that have not made that decision. If you have not, darkness will overthrow you. You are here tonight. You want to say, Jesus, I want you to become the Lord of my life, because you are truly the light that deals with ignorance, that deals with chaos, that deals with the works of the devil, that deals with demons, and that deals with godlessness. I want you to become the Lord of my life. Can you wave your hand? Let me lead you in the prayer of salvation. Quickly. Is there anybody like that? Everybody here has confessed the Lord before. Yes, my brother. There's someone. Is there any other person? Quickly, quickly, quickly. I have two more things I want to share with those who already have Christ. Okay, I see another person there.
It's not time to be ashamed. These are businesses of eternity. You want to stand up to your feet and put your hand on your chest as a bold declaration, very quickly. We have 3 persons, 4 persons, 5 persons. Come on, stand up. Come on, come on. Give the Lord a big hand. Give the Lord a big hand. Give the Lord a big hand. Please walk up to the altar. Walk up to the altar. Take that step of faith. Wow, there are over 4 people on the gallery. Walk up to the altar. You want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Quickly. Would have come. Jesus didn't come because we are many. If it's for one soul, he would come. And so he came because of you. And this decision you have made is the best decision you have made in your life. The way to receive Jesus into your heart is simple. And God deliberately made it simple so that anybody and everybody can accept him. He said in Romans chapter 10 verse 9, he said, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. He said, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So look up to me now. You will pray this prayer after me, believing it in your heart, right? The first thing I need you to believe is that Jesus is the Son of God. He's not just a man. He's the Son of God. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. I also need you to believe that Jesus died for your sins. Not just for anybody, for your own sins. And I also want you to believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. He didn't remain in the grave. He came alive. Right? Please don't distract them. And then I want you to use your mouth to call him your Lord. What it means is that you are devoting your life to him from today. He's now the owner and the master of your life. Are we ready to do that? Now place your hand on your chest and say, dear Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe in my heart that Jesus is your Son, that he died for my sins, and that he rose from the dead for my justification. I confess today that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Thank you, Father. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. The power of darkness over my life is broken. I am now a part of the family of God. Thank you, Father, for accepting me. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for you now. Father, just stay sensitive. I want the Holy Ghost to touch you now. Some of you will receive the baptism of the Spirit to speak in tongues. Some of you will receive giftings of the Spirit even right now, in just a moment. Precious Holy Spirit, thank you for these ones that have received you. Now I pray in the name of Jesus the risen Christ, receive a fresh baptism of the Spirit. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I release that baptism upon you now, a baptism of fire with the tangible manifestation of speaking in tongues. In the name of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet.
Touch. 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 Receive that impartation now. Receive that grace now. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For those of them who are still sober, help them to the back. Collect their details. Let's try to follow them up. Please give the Lord a big hand. In the name of Jesus Christ. And so for those of you who have received Jesus already, three things you must do quickly. Number one, acquire more truth. Because light is truth. Don't live on the strength of assumption. Acquire truth. In Proverbs 23:23, say, buy the truth, sell it not. These kinds of messages don't appeal to carnal people. But I'm telling you, that's why I'm giving you these scriptures. And I'm taking it, I'm taking my time. So you go and read it. Acquire truth. He said, buy the truth, sell it not. Don't allow any vacuum in your life anymore. If there's any area in your life and you don't know what God said, go and search it out. Find out what God said about every area of your life. Buy it and take it with you. Number two, believe it. They are not stories. These are eternal realities. They are not stories. Make up your mind to believe these things. He said, if you believe with your heart, Romans 10:9, the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. You believe in your heart, you are transported into righteousness. These are not tales. In John 6:63, he said, the words I speak, he said, they are spirit and they are life. These are not stories. So when you see this truth, make up your mind to believe it. It mustn't sound fireful for it to be real. In the quietness of your room, while you are opening the scripture, God is talking to you. Take those things and talk it to yourself with faith. Because those are words from the Lord. If I sent you a letter, you will believe it as much as you would if I were talking to you. That's what the word is to you. They are the letters of God to you. And so as you read it, take it personal and believe it. Many people are reading scriptures, they are detached from what they are reading. Don't do it like that. Read it as if it's God talking to you. Because ideally, it's God talking to you. Are we together? Number three. When you have believed it, stand for it. Don't just believe casually. Everything you believe, if there's an occasion to stand for it, stand for it. In Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 3 say, arise, shine, thy light is come. When the word comes to you, make up your mind to stand for it. In Daniel chapter 3 verse 18, these guys believed the word of the Lord so much. And they told the king, he said, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. He said, our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow. We believe this thing beyond immediate answer. The answer may not be immediate, but we believe. Even if we were to die for this truth, we will die happily. So stand for truth. In the place of prayer, affirm it. By your lifestyle, affirm it. Don't just hear it and quote it. Stand on it. And number four, propagate it. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. Propagate it. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ. We preach Him. We don't just keep it in our heart that we believe. We preach Him. Every opportunity you have, propagate this truth. Tell the world that God has done something about their frustration. He has sent Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, he said, Christ has become unto us wisdom. And it's not just wisdom. It's power. It's glory. It's favor. Everything you ever need, Christ has become it for you. So propagate it. Tell somebody. Don't keep it to yourself. The more you propagate it, the more it becomes true in your life. In Mark 16:20, he said, they went out and the Lord walking with them, confirming the word. If you keep quiet, there will be nothing to confirm. Confirming the word with signs and with wonders. The way these things become more true in your life,
is when you continually propagate them. Tonight, it's not just a message of prophesying and imparting. It's actually a manual to you. And as you go back, like the Berean Christians, take this up and look at it again. Meditate on what darkness is. And if there's any area of darkness in your life, take the capsule of light and kick out that darkness. Don't let it remain there. And as you kick it out, receive more light and give more light to your world. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set upon the hill. As you depart from here, you do not depart from the presence of God, but the presence of the Lord will go with you. That presence will keep you. That presence will guide you. And that presence will lead you. Everywhere you go, you will carry the same to people, to families, to systems, and to nations. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Indeed, you will be a joy of many generations. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. For the next 5 minutes, we'll just take some few announcements. And then 9 o'clock, we'll be here. For those of you coming from far and wide, don't be perturbed. We have transport arrangement to take you to the nearest bus stop to your destination. Next week, Sunday, we'll have a revival service. God bless you. We chance in the Holy Ghost.
The message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.